Joined by Matthew Thompson, LBC's correspondent. And in a moment, I'll talk to John O'Brien, Secretary to the Independent Inquiry on Child Sexual Abuse. Matthew, because this investigation, this inquiry has cyclically produced reports. So vast is its remit, really. So tell us about today.
Yes, this is the 18th of 19 reports in total that will be published, and then a sort of full and final one will be published, we expect, sometime towards the end of this year. But this particular report is looking at the exploitation of children by essentially grooming gangs and other networks. Networks are defined by the inquiry as being basically any more than two people or more who conspire to exploit children. And some of what it's found is pretty harrowing, Sheila. Extensive failures by local authorities and police forces to tackle the problem. Children being sexually exploited in all parts of England and Wales, and I quote, in the most degrading and destructive ways, like a 14-year-old girl. And I just will give you a little health warning, Sheila, to your listeners, that this is quite graphic, but I do think important to really give you a sense of exactly what this inquiry has uncovered. A 14-year-old described being abducted several times for sex, including at one point by a group of 23 men who held her at gunpoint whilst forcing her to perform sex acts on them. And she described feeling failed by police and children's social care services. So what about those failings? Well, what do they look like? The inquiry said that councils and police forces in the six areas that they looked at were to some extent in denial about the scale of the problem. They concluded that might be because of a concern not to be seen as the next Rochdale or the next Rotherham, rather than a desire that you might expect to root out and expose the true scale of the problem wherever they find it. Data collection seems to have been fairly pitiful in many cases. I mean, if you imagine the debate, Sheila, we've been having for years now about the involvement of, for example, groups of South Asian males in grooming gangs and whether there's any link between ethnicity and child sexual exploitation. None of the six areas considered by the inquiry kept any data on the ethnicity of victims and alleged perpetrators, which seems baffling. I mean, how can we take steps to address a problem if we don't even have the data to know whether it exists in the first place? There were instances of failures to prosecute perpetrators, of actual prosecutions of exploited children when their offending was linked to their exploitation. Instances of victim blaming by the authorities. In Warwickshire, police, for example, described a child as being promiscuous. You know, this is the language used by the very people who are supposed to protect these children. There's a number of recommendations to address some of these issues in the report. Perhaps you can discuss some of that with John O'Brien in a moment. But I'm afraid, Sheila, that the overall picture that emerges from this report is one in which there are a litany of institutional failings. And I stress current failings. You know, we're not talking about historical problems in the 1980s here. These are current problems that currently need addressed and which allow this most wretched form of abuse to continue unchecked.
Thanks, Matthew. John O'Brien, Secretary to the Independent Inquiry on Child Sexual Abuse is here. Good afternoon to you.
Hello, Sheila.
It's interesting when Matthew said, these institutions and organisations were almost wanting to, you know, make sure that they weren't seen to be handling it badly, or they were misunderstanding and misconstruing and misdescribing the situation that these girls and others were in. It strikes me that we're all, perhaps not you and your colleagues on the inquiry, of course, but the rest of us have probably been guilty of that a little, haven't we? Just in society generally, about children in care, vulnerable children, things we see and find distasteful or hard to navigate, hard to understand. It seems to me that there's a bigger problem, really, as to just who these children are and how we help them, how we see them.
Yeah, I mean, I think really what you're alluding to is the sort of cultural issues that lie behind both child sexual abuse and lots of the other problems you alluded to there. And things are difficult to talk about sometimes, aren't they? It's a difficult to talk about child sexual abuse. It's difficult to think that people you know might be carrying out child sexual abuse. But as Matthew alluded to, I mean, we looked at six local authority and police areas in this report, and in not one of them. So that in order to tackle any problem, whatever it is, you need to understand two things initially, don't you? Nature and scale. What's the nature of the problem and how big is it? And so not one of these forces was recording things like ethnicity of either the perpetrator or the victim. So you weren't able to make those links that Matthew talked about in terms of, is there a particular problem with people from ethnic backgrounds or not, because the data simply wasn't recorded. But neither were they recording that information in relation to the victim. So you weren't able to properly deal with the consequences for the victim of this. And you know, these are children in many instances, very, very, very young, well under 13. And Matthew alluded to the dreadful instance of the 14-year-old girl and the 20 men. So we need to understand that. We need to get this properly recorded. So in South Wales, for instance, the police said they didn't think there were any gangs in Swansea that carried out this sort of abuse. And yet in the evidence that was presented to us, we found evidence that organised gangs were operating in Swansea. In Tower Hamlets, the local authority told us the same thing, and yet we were able to uncover evidence in our
investigation. And patterns, you know, because if it's familial, there's a pattern. If it's a chain of takeaways in a taxi service, there's a pattern. That's the nature element of what you're describing there, isn't it? Understanding the nature of it.
Indeed. And if you don't record all those things, you don't understand it. And the third element to this was that there's this been shift in recent years to record the exploitation of children in a generic sense. And what I mean by that is they record that a child has been exploited, but not necessarily why. So that could be because they're involved in county lines drug dealing. It could be because they're being sexually exploited. So you can't actually break down of the, you know, the 50 that children that have come to the attention of a police force this week, how many have actually been sexually exploited. So that is quite stunning in 2022. It's particularly stunning because in 2015, child sex exploitation by such gangs was made a strategic priority. So that puts it on the same level as organised crime and terrorism. And we would not accept that if 50 people were arrested in any area that the police couldn't tell us how many of those have been arrested for terrorism. And yet that is the situation that we found in these six areas with children that have been exploited for sexual gratification.
And why do you think that is?
I think Matthew touched on part of it. There is this fear that you know, we're going to be branded the next Rotherham, that we'll appear to be targeting certain groups. It is not racist to record something that's factual. This was the ethnic background of the victim. This was the ethnic background of the perpetrator. That's a fact. And it helps do the thing that you alluded to earlier, which is at the heart of the problem, which is identify patterns.
You know, to a degree, this independent inquiry, in part anyway, came into being because of the horrors of people like Jimmy Savile, you know, and others as well. The Prime Minister threw that name out in the Commons yesterday, and I'm sure you know the context in which he did it. We'll be speaking to a victim of Jimmy Savile later on in the programme, who has said that she was completely sort of upended by hearing that name out of the blue like that. Did the Prime Minister weaponise that name for his own benefits? Does it alarm you that that name would be used in that way, given the vulnerabilities and the pain that you see caused to so many people?
Certainly in the context of one of the things we've all learnt here is just the really sensitive nature of something completely unexpected in being put in front of victims of this. And it really does bring it all back for them. So we should all think very carefully about how we use this sort of information, where we talk about it and how we prepare people for it. And so in that context, you know, I can understand it would have upset a lot of people being used really out of context, completely out of context and for a different purpose. I can really see how all of the things that we've learned and published in this might seem to be being overlooked as a result of that.
And just briefly, if I could ask you, what's your highest aim from this, when it's all over, from this inquiry? What's your greatest aim
that cultural shift we've talked about, you alluded to earlier, where we feel comfortable about talking about it, we feel comfortable about reporting it, and we feel comfortable with some of the uncomfortable actions that will need to be taken to be stamped out, that cultural shift happens.
Okay, thank you. Well, hear, hear to that. Thank you very much indeed, John O'Brien, Secretary of the Independent Inquiry on Child Sexual Abuse.